Here we are with the actress Natasha Perez, who is much more than just an actress, and we're going to hopefully learn more about her. So, hola Natasha.
Hola, ¿cómo estás? Saludos a todos tus radio escuchas, internet escuchas, video escuchas y aquellos que paran la oreja para escuchar lo que tienes que decir.
Now you're going to have to say that in English for my English readers.
Okay, that was hello in Spanish to everyone that listens and checks efija.com.
So, Natasha, so you are an actress.
Yeah.
But you do voiceovers.
Yes.
You're also a musician.
Yeah.
And I think I'm safe to say probably a writer, too.
Yeah, well, I'm mainly an improviser. And one of the things that improvisers do is that we're taught to how to act, direct, and write on the spot. So the discipline of writing comes with just doing it. But I come from a family of writers, so I do it. And I'm a songwriter, so I write my own songs. So in that sense, I am a writer. I did a bit of journalism, so I'm more... In the prose of things than the narrative, although I've written a play that was about to be produced, that was going to be produced at Strasbourg, but I went against, like, I don't like it, no.
Well, you weren't ready there.
No, you know what? It's funny, because I ran into because I had to cast and go through the whole process, and I ran into the people that did the table reads, like, what happened with your play? It was so good. And I'm like, no, I didn't like it. It's like, there was a lot of rewriting that had to be done, and in the first rewriting process, I ruined it. Oh. I, like, totally changed it. And later, I learned that it's part of it, that you go back and forth and whatever, so sometimes you have to go back to the original, and that's what I needed to do, but I was just doing the acting, and I'll come back to it
someday soon. We'll probably see that. Well, with all these things that you're doing, which one is that you're drawn to more?
Don't ask that. That's okay. So this is like, let me ask a journalist not to ask a question. that's a good policy. This is mainly how I view it. I consider myself an artist and a multidisciplinary artist. However my expression wants to come out, I let it go. And sometimes I'm like, I studied painting for like 3 years when I was a kid. And sometimes I'm drawn, you know, to paint a picture. I'm not a painter. But if the expression wants to come out in a graphic way, that's how it's going to come out. So I try not to judge it, which is what I did with my play. I know. But I usually try not to judge it. It's because this one, I don't judge it when it comes to I'm the one who's doing it. But if I have to involve a bunch of people and I'm not liking what I'm like, oh, I'm sorry I put you in this mess. But I'm actually going to write. I am writing at the moment with the founder of the Groundlings, which is a theater and a school here in Los Angeles for comedy.
Wonderful place.
He's a wonderful place. A lot of SNL, Matt TV, a lot of comedians from all the sitcoms that you've seen have come out from this place. But the founder, his name is Gary Austin, and I've been with him and part of his improv troupe for over 7 years now. And last year we kind of stopped for his health reasons, but he's been doing something that he calls the 48th Street Exercise, which is one actor doing like half an hour of solo improvisational work. And last few times that we've done it, it's been like open house. And the last one I did at the beginning of this year, I got a standard ovation. And I'm like, whoa. And he said in front of everyone, is like, I'm directing your first solo show. So now I have my homework and I have to sit down and write and present stuff to him. So I like have the super privilege to start doing something with Gary Austin, which is like, wow.
Well, that's fantastic. So now on the film side and television, tell some of the audience who don't know what they've seen you in, because you are very eclectic.
Well, that's the main question that you get asked when you're in the street. People see you as like, oh, you're an actress. You're a waitress. I'm like, actually, no. I get to pay my bills being an actor. Well, I think the first place that you can see me, if you don't blink too quickly, it's Lady in the Water, that movie with M. Night Shyamalan. I did spend five months in Philadelphia. you know, working with Paul Giamatti, with Bryce Dallas Howard, with Bill Irwin, like an amazing, amazing cast of people, amazing talent. And I became vegan out of that experience, actually, because everyone in the cast and part of the crew were vegan, so it really did change my life. But the way they edited it is just, you know, it became like a glorified extra, but a pivotal role in the movie. Nonetheless, it is important. So if you've seen it, I've been stopped like twice. I'm like, did you? I'm like, yeah, you're a real fan, aren't you? You posted and study every single actor. No, I'm there and I have a few lines, but we're always talking chorus. You did not see me in Spanglish, even though I worked there because I got edited out. But I've been on in a few TV shows. The life of an actor. You know, I didn't feel that bad. I felt horrible when I saw that they totally caught me off Spanglish. But they told me that first, the first movie Kevin Bacon did, he was a corpse. Like he did a little bit, like a scene or two, and then he ended up like being dead. And he was like, well, at least, you know, I'm there dead and you could see me cross hands and my face. No, everything was from the neck down. So they cut his first scenes and then it was just like the suit, just a suit. So it's like, well, if that happened to Kevin Bacon, there's still like some hope for me. Anyhow. Okay. My things that you've seen me on TV would be like ER. I did a few last episodes of ER. I was having like a Hispanic panic. I did The District. I did a recurring role in The District, like procedural kind of a police show. Yeah, you can see me on cop. Bad cop. No, actually a good cop. But lately, where you've seen me probably, because one of the things that I've been doing since I started like really doing comedy, I would say almost 90% of what I do acting wise lately has been comedy. I did. Thank you. I did a few Jimmy Kimmel shows doing sketch. And the first one that I did was horrible for me. It was a very, very hard decision to make because I had auditioned for SNL en Español. And I got picked up to do a showcase based on a clip that went viral. So if you guys want to check it out, just go Natasha Perez, SNL audition, and you get to see the audition in Spanish. I'm doing like Sofia Vergara, Penelope Cruz, Shakira, all sorts of different things in Spanish. That video went viral, but it got me an audition in front of the Lorne Michaels and Elvis office, and got me to submit a video to audition for SNL in English. So I submitted a video. You can see that video. The production quality of that video is actually better than the one in Spanish because the one in Spanish was done in my iPhone and with natural light. So you get to see how the day starts changing the light on the video. It's like horrible production quality, but it went viral. But the second one, I learned my lesson and I just did artificial lighting in my living room and you don't get to see that much of a difference. And I this time I had my friend who did makeup on me, so it's a lot better. And that one got me to do the showcase for SNL. However, the day, because this is how life happens, the day I did one of the characters that I played was Paula Deen. And I look more like Medea than Paula Deen, of course. If you know that I'm a woman of color, but I try my best. Because the theme of this video was people apologizing because that had just happened. She was apologizing for the apology tour. Little hiccup she went through. So I'm doing, trying to, because you have 2 days, that's how much I had, to do this video. So I got to repeat those scenes over and over until I did, hi y'all, so I got it. So I did that like 60 times until I got it right. But for the audition in front of, you know, the SNL people, I had 5 minutes. So it's not that I have a few takes, it's live, it's like, okay, here, put the guitar, no retakes. So I have a friend who's from Atlanta, Georgia, and is like, please, please, like, do some coaching because tonight at 8 p.m. I have this audition. And I'm waiting for him to arrive. I'm in Burbank waiting for him to arrive from whatever when I get a call. He's like, is this Natasha Perez? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, this is from the Jimmy Kimmel show. And I'm like thinking someone's pulling my leg, right? It's like, we want to hire Natasha for a skit with Channing Tatum. Do you think she'd be available tonight? And I'm like, today. And I'm like, oh, of course she's available. I'm like thinking, of course it's a friend. And I'm like, yeah, because we called her agent about like half an hour ago and no one has gotten back. And I'm like, oh, wait, so who did you call? And they're like, oh, AF, you know, my agency. I'm like, oh, who in AF? I'm like, well, if this is a prank, they really did their homework. Until I'm like, how did you, you know, heard about me? It turns out that every time I've had like a major-ish role, I just like do a little postcard and send it out. And it's just like, no. Well, we're calling your management company, a.k.a. me. No management company, it's just me. Just because I didn't want to give my actual address. It's like, so we're calling to see. It's like, yeah. So is she available? It's like, yeah, I'm available. And she's like, is that you? It's like, yeah. Oh, my God. You're really professional. I'm like, thank you. So anyhow, I had to choose. I told her, it's like, look, this is why I'm doing this SNL thing. Let me get back at you. So I called, you know, IO, which is the theater that was doing the showcase, and the guy told me, he's like, look, yes, auditioning for SNL is a major thing, but if you put me to choose between a paid job and an audition, I will go do a paid job, especially if it's with Channing Tatum, especially if it's with Jimmy Kimmel. So I was like, oh, but I chose Channing because he's hot and he won.
That's fantastic. And because of that, you've done Jimmy Kimmel more than once.
Yes, and he worked out, and I ended up playing Guillermo's, the Jimmy Kimmel sidekick, his dream girl, and that was like a funny little skit. I loved it. He's such a dear.
He is. I had the pleasure of meeting him a couple of times, and now you're part of a documentary called Now in Español, mm-hmm. which is about it's five actresses who dub Desperate Housewife in Spanish. But you've done more than just Desperate Housewife. How did this come about for you?
Well, this started when I was almost a kid. I was a preteen when I started doing dubbing, because I had a neighbor who was a dubbing actor. He used to do like Pinky and the Brain and Superman and Batman in Spanish. And I was just in awe of what he did, and I asked him one day, I was like, would you please teach me how to do this? And he just told me, he's like, just watch The Simpsons, because this is like, you know, the one of the best representations of what we do. And he showed me a little bit of the cadence and how in Venezuela they used to do it. The Simpsons is dubbed in Mexico, which is like the major school for every place in Latin America. So I just like practiced for like about a month. And next time I saw him, I was like, I practiced. So I like tell him all my learned lines. And he's like, you're good. You know, there's going to be audition. They're auditioning for young voices for Animaniacs. And so I auditioned. I ended up with like a tiny little role doing like one of the cousins of the three pigeons, the mafioso pigeons. So that was my first one. And then a little bit later, they train you for like about 6 months. But in 2 weeks, because he had trained me before, they were auditioning for like a more mature role. It was like the actual actress was the wife of Caetano Veloso in this soap opera called Corazón Gitano, like Gypsy Heart. And I had to put my voice like this to pretend being an adult. And I got it. So I did that one. So I did some dubbing over there. And then when I came here, I just auditioned. And I immediately got like a starring role in The Bold and the Beautiful as one of the characters. And that character died because a chandelier fell on top of her. And it's been the half a season, like a few episodes, dubbing on a coma. And all you could hear was... And I was like, wow, they're actually paying me to breathe. So, you know, dubbing pays really, really bad. But I have to say, that was like the easiest money that I've seen.
I know that if you do it on a regular basis, it kind of adds up a little.
Yeah, that's part of what the documentary also talks about. It doesn't tell you the exact amount, and I can go and tell you that we started actually dubbing at $8, then we went to $10. By the time I was doing Desperate Housewives, it went to like $16. And by the time we're in the documentary, we got it all the way to $20. And, you know, if you work at Starbucks and you're like, oh, $20 an hour doesn't sound bad. But in order to get one role that would get you a $20 hour job, and granted, you never get to do more than 3 hours per episode, the maximum that you get per episode is $60. So in order to get those $60, you have invested just in gas auditioning a lot more than that. So it's not a well-paid job, but I used to do it usually as a nighttime job. My boyfriend at the time used to work in theater, so he used to work like kind of like graveyard shift. So I started dubbing like at 11 p.m. and finished like around 2, like get home at 2. So to me, it was okay because I get to do voiceovers and audition for films and stuff during the day, so it wasn't that bad. And it's a lot of fun. You get to, it's like having a class where you actually get paid a little bit because you are actually watching what the actor is doing at a microscopic level. So you're like, oh look, because you breathe with a person, you get to almost predict, like, you know how they're going to do what they're doing. So
it's one way of actually really people watching, because you're paying so much attention to all the little nuances and detail of that person that you're dubbing,
and you get to see what works and what doesn't, because sometimes you see it before it gets edited. It gets a final edit. And sometimes, you know, there's a scene that didn't work at all when you dubbed it. And then when they did the final edit, they remove all the silences and the face that didn't work and a different reaction. And then you actually watch the episode. It's like, that's hilarious. And it wasn't when it was done. So the magic of post. So there's a bit of that. I did Desperate Housewives back in the golden days of dubbing. I did Kate on Lost. That was like my favorite. I loved Kate. And unfortunately, during the documentary, you see that the shows leave. They leave Los Angeles. And when we were fighting for our rights, the network decided that they could do it cheaper. It was like, okay, we're going to raise the amount. We're going to give you a better contract of $20. That's what it went up like. But you know, we might take it somewhere else, and they did. However, they brought ABC brought Desperate Housewives back. We believe that it logistically wasn't working, because sometimes, you know, you have to redub and recut and stuff, and having to send it all the way to Mexico and coming back. Sometimes it wasn't, you know, maybe with the technology the way it is now, different story, but let's not give them ideas.
No. So what are we going to see you in next?
So far, the two things that are, you know, in the cooking and the stove are my solo show with Groundlings founder Gary Austin, and the other thing is my album, which I've been dabbling in music, playing with instruments. My dad was a guitar player. My mom used to write songs. Actually, my mom used to write songs for Maria Conchita Alonso. She used to, with Rudy La Scala, they used to write together. And my mom wrote the lyrics, and he would write the music. So
I think a lot of people forget that Maria Conchita Alonso is a singer.
She used to sing. And I think that she still does sometimes, and she sings more like romantic songs. But funny enough, I was working on an album, and the point was to release the album along with a movie. Thankfully, the movie got sold like super quick, and it's like, okay, this is the date, and everything came out super fast. But I had 2 months to get my album finished with everything that I had, which it was pretty at a very advanced level, I have to say. All I needed to do was to record the main voices, backgrounds, and mix and master. 2 months is enough to do that. But my house fell into this mold episode that got me homeless since January. Actually, last night I slept in my car, just so you know. Very glamorous.
I'm
living the dream. Well, you know, my friend says that Hollywood is the following way: you arrive to a job in a limo, and then you leave in a bus. Because it's true. But yes, I've been touring I've been touring the United States right now. We went to Miami, went to Chicago, San Antonio, like promoting the movie and talking to the press and stuff like that. And yesterday I arrived from Chicago to my finally supposedly cleaned home. And I get to my house. Everything's in boxes, like nothing. And I slept in a colchoneta. I slept in a pad. And it's like, it's okay. I just want to see if I can take it. And I couldn't take it. It was like, I was having all sorts of reactions. So I left. No to Latinos and to everybody that deals with mold, it's really bad for you. So yes. Talk to your landlord.
Yes.
And that is that. There's going to be some music also. Oh, I'm sorry. There's this band called Los Amigos Invisibles, which is a Grammy winner band from Venezuela. The keyboard player stopped being part of the band because he is an actor, so he wanted to just do acting. And we've been in conversations to do, like, let's write together, let's do a movie, let's do a short, let's do something. So we've been talking about it, and when I told him what happened to me with the mold, he's like, send me the songs that you have. So I sent him a song, and he's like, I can produce you. Let's produce this. Because some of it is soul and funky, whatever. So in June, I'm going to New York, and he's going to produce, Armando Figueredo is going to produce my album. So it's like, yay. And then I also share this information with Rudy La Scala, and he's launched a bunch of different people, and now I have a padrino in my album. So I think that you're going to see me more in a musical form on my next project, but hey, I'm not going away from the stage or from the cameras.
No, because I can tell that you love all the things that you do, and like you said, you're a true artist. So, thank you so much, Natasha. This was fun, and I hope to do this with you again very soon.
Yay! Thank you.